dive right in. Daniel Erzbommer heads up the Pelican Institute for Public Policy. We check in with him rather frequently when we get close to the legislative session and throughout. Daniel, welcome back. How are you, man?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing great. Good to be with you.
Glad to have you on. Big news yesterday, big movement yesterday when it comes to a bill that I know the Pelican Institute has had its eyes on, talking about Richard Nelson's bill. If you can't read by third grade, you stay in third grade. What's y'all's takeaways as it moved from the House, cleared the House and moves to the Senate?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the legislature, Bessie, the Department of Education all have put a really important focus on literacy and getting back to the basics. I know when you and I were in school, we learned this novel concept called phonics. Yeah. They now call it the science of reading. I guess that sounds fancier. This is really important. If kids can't read, they can't do the rest of it, right? They can't function in life. They can't do math because they can't read the math problem. You know, this is the old saying, right? Reading is fundamental, and that's absolutely true. So Representative Nelson's effort to really put a focus on this and make it real for kids, for the systems, is a really good thing.
Where we are right now in the legislative session, this is actually going to walk me up to another bill. Where we are right now in the legislative session with something moving from House to Senate, from one chamber to another, with just over 2 weeks to go, are we still in that window of where things can be cleared, things can be passed, or are we getting down to that crunch time where even if you see something advanced, you kind of know it's going to fizzle before it's done?
Well, it certainly is crunch time, but that doesn't mean there isn't enough time. When there's a will, there's a way here. And technically, as you look at the calendar, obviously there are safeguards built into the system to make sure that the public and lawmakers have a chance to read bills to process. So they have to be read in three times and move their way through committees. But, this bill has to make its way through the Senate Education Committee back to the floor and on to the governor. So this one absolutely has a chance to make its way through. For some other bills that may still be just getting their first committee hearings, it's going to be awfully tight unless there's a really big push by leadership to get them across the finish line.
Well, that moves us from Richard Nelson's bill to HB 98. Cleared the House yesterday. This is about school choice. Tell me all about it and where it's headed.
That's right. Chairman Lance Harris brought this bill called the Louisiana Sunshine Scholarship Program. And what this is an issue you and I have talked a bunch about to ensure that every kid in Louisiana, every family has access to a school that best fits him or her, you know, whether that's a traditional public school, a public charter school, a magnet school, a private school, a home school, some combination of those. This is the bill that will make that happen. Strong support. In the House, it makes its way. It's got a couple of stops in the Senate Education and Senate Finance before it makes its way to the Senate floor. But this reform is so important. And, you know, if there's a theme to Representative Nelson, Representative or Chairman Harris and others, it's time for disruption in the way we've always done things in education. Parents are demanding it. Our scores are demanding it. And it's time we really take these ideas that have proven to work in other states and put them to work for Louisiana families.
Daniel Erzbommer from the Pelican Institute is our guest. Daniel, just a procedural question. Why does it have to make two committee stops?
This one has a fiscal note attached to it. So the process for this one is while it estimates the same amount of money as the MFP or the school funding formula, the actual scholarships in the program are appropriated by the legislature. So the Senate Finance Committee, it's already been approved by the House Appropriations Committee. Senate Finance has to approve it as well. So these bills that have what we call a fiscal note, they have a requirement for an appropriation from the legislature, have to make four committee stops all the way through, and then, of course, the two floors of the chambers.
Daniel Erzbommer from the Pelican Institute is our guest. Daniel, one of the things that I look for when tracking bills this far into the process, I'll go on the website, I'll look up the bill, and then I'll hover over the digest tab. Yeah. HB 98 has HB 98 original, HB 98 engrossed, HB 98 re-engrossed, HB 98 re-engrossed. when I see something like that, I actually take it as a positive, because that tells me more than one legislator has said, we need to find a way to say yes. We need to make this thing work so that it's it is palatable on the other side. Is that the same takeaway you get, or do you feel more along the lines of, when you see something that's been that reworked over and over and over again, it probably needs to go back to the drawing board for next session?
No, you know, it certainly can go either way, but I tend to lean toward your point of view. When you see amendments, that means members are engaged in this. This is a serious piece of legislation that folks are trying to figure out. Sometimes it means they're trying to get to yes. Sometimes it means they've been studying it and they see something that needs tweaked, or it's clear that it's going to make its way through the process. So staff and leadership are looking to make sure all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed. I agree. When it's got a lot of amendments or some amendments along the way, certainly it can mean that it's going to end up a mess. But oftentimes it means people are really taking it seriously and they want to make sure we get it just right.
What's Pelican Institute eyeing up this week?
Well, obviously, we'll continue to look at making sure these education bills get scheduled on the Senate side. We need to make sure we put the pressure on leadership on that side to get them scheduled. Two bills today, and another education savings account or scholarship account bill by Representative Rhonda Butler that focuses specifically on kids with special needs, and a bill from Representative Rick Edmonds on the floor today. This one has passed a couple of times, vetoed by the governor once, and got caught in the last couple of days of session last year. This is a no-brainer. It brings transparency to our education spending for every school board, every place across the state. We've got massive amounts of money in our education system right now. Transparency, sunlight, always a good thing, especially maybe even when things are going well and money's being spent right. So that's an important one. And then we're obviously watching the debate and engaged in the debate over the state budget. What are we going to do? Yeah. Taxpayers have sent a lot more money to Baton Rouge than they originally expected. And there's the debate about how to do this. Do we spend every dime and push all that money through, or do we exhibit some restraint in the good times so that we can be set up for future success?
Either way, when I filed my taxes, I don't remember saying, keep the change, you filthy animal.
Right. I'm not sure anybody did, though. I'll note, if anybody wants to send extra money to the government, whether it's D.C. Yeah. or Baton Rouge, that option is open to you.
Yeah, it actually is. So you can check that off.
That's right.
Good luck with that. He's Danny Lurksbauer, heads up the Pelican Institute. We'll check in soon before this session's over with, man. I appreciate a couple minutes.
Always appreciate it. Good to talk with you.
Yeah, we'll talk.